Well, let's begin.
Somebody has to call out.
Exactly. Call on him. That's a good point. That's a good point.
David's not here.
All right. Masechet Sota. Daf Lamed Chet and Lamed Tet. I know that it doesn't say it on your page because that's my printer. It doesn't. Your page wouldn't say Lamed Tet anyways. We're going to be looking at Lamed Chet Amud Aleph and Lamed Chet Amud Bet. The next Daf Lamed Tet is a continuation of this. We're not going to do it tonight. Maybe we'll do it next time. Because these two Dapim, two and a half Dapim of Sota, is basically most of Berchat Kohanim in Shas. Almost all of the Dinim of Berchat Kohanim come from these two Dapim in Sota. Why are they in Sota? So that's a nice answer, but that it has to do with because the Mishnayos here are talking about. Exactly, Mike. I was on the ball. The Mishnayos here were talking about what has to be in Ivrit, including the Sota, the recitation that the Kohen says towards the Sota when he's telling her about what's going to happen to her. It has to be in Hebrew. The Brachos and the Klolos and Har Eval and Har Grizion have to be in Hebrew. Other things have to be in Hebrew, including Birchas Kohanim. And our Mishnah and Gemara are going to talk about that and various other things. You don't have the beginning of the Mishnah. Look at the side where there's a Gemara at the top, where it says Gemara at the top, it says like six lines in. I know it got cut off. So at the top there is the Mishnah. But if you look at your source sheets, I have from the beginning of the Mishnah. It's the first source on the sheet before the section. So the first source on the sheet is the Mishnah that starts this. Birchas Kohanim Ketzad. How do you do Birchas Kohanim? So actually, what the Mishnah is really asking is that there are two kinds of Birchas Kohanim. There's Birchas Kohanim in the Medina and Birchas Kohanim in the Mikdash. And they want to teach us about the Birchas Kohanim in those two places. Meaning the way that the Kohanim used to recite their bracha in the Mikdash was different than the way that they used to recite it in Ranana and Beit Shemesh and other places of Eretz Yisrael. Masnisen, Birchas Kohanim Ketzad. How do they do it? B'Medina Omer Ota Shalosh Brachos. U'ma'imikdash bracha achas. So we're familiar that there are three brachos. Yivarech Hashem, Yer Hashem, Panav Elecha, and Yisa Hashem. Right, those are the three brachos, and we say Amen after each one. However, in the Mikdash, they didn't say Amen after each one. They recited all three together, and it was Kibracha Achas. That's how they did it. B'Mikdash Omer Es Hashem Kiksavo, U'ba'medina B'kinuyo. In the Mikdash, right, we know this from the Tefillah of Yom Kippur, right? The Kohanim used to recite the name of Hashem, B'Shem HaMeforash, right? Which means that they wouldn't say Adoshem, they would say Yudke Vavke, they would recite it, meaning the way that it's written, Kiksavo. Whereas our Kohanim in Chutzla Mikdash, they say it B'Kinuyo, meaning Adoshem. I think from this point you actually have it on the Gemara. If you want to turn to the Gemara, Rashi explained Kiksavo B'Yudke, B'Kinuyo, B'Alef Dalet. That's the first Rashi on the top of the Daf. So the continuation of the Mishnah we can read from here. B'Medina Kohanim Nosim Etzgeden K'Neged Katfehen U'B'Mikdash Agabe Roshehen. In the Medina, in Ranane, in cities outside of Yerushalayim, so the Kohanim, they pick up their arms and they're meant to be parallel to their shoulders. That's how they're supposed to hold them, not higher, not lower, parallel to their shoulders.
This is in the Medina.
Yes. But Mikdash Agabe Yashen. In the Mikdash, though, they would hold them higher. They would hold them this high, right? Except Chutz Mikohen Gadol Sheinu Magbias Yadav L'Malam Min Atzitz. Except for the Kohen Gadol who didn't. Why? Because he was wearing the tzitz on his head, and it's not appropriate to pick your hands up above the tzitz. Right? Rashi explains Mipnei Shehashem Katuv Alav. Because here Hashem is there, Kadosh LaHashem. That's what it says on the golden tzitz. And so he didn't want to pick your hands up above the tzitz. Rabbi Yehuda disagrees. Rabbi Yehuda Amar Af Kohen Gadol Magbias Yadav L'Malam Min Atzitz. Shneimar Ve'Isa Aaron Es Yadav Al Ham Ve'Yivarechem. Because it says about Aaron. Rabbi Yehuda presumes that this means that he would pick his hands up higher. Halacha l'maisa, by the way, this has a nafkamina l'halacha, a funny nafkamina. And we show him wonder, yes, this is true about the tzitz, but Kohanim even nowadays wear something on their head sometimes, during the week at least. They wear tefillin. Tefillin is hukash the tzitz all the time. We compare it to the tzitz all the time. We learn kal v'chomer from tzitz to the tefillin and back and forth. So our Kohanim also, right, shouldn't be allowed to, even if they were in the Mikdash, they shouldn't be allowed to put their hands up over their heads, right? So it doesn't, it's not really such an afkamina nowadays, because it seems like it's not such an afkamina nowadays, and it is because they shouldn't be picking their hands up over their heads in the Gvulin anyways. But the Ravid, when he wonders, you know, what's the answer to this question? Meaning, in the Mikdash, how could the Kohen head yod pick his hands up over his head? So the Ravid actually says, because they had really large tefillin. They were very tall. So even if they were to pick up their hands, it wouldn't go above their tefillin. Okay, sounds strange. But the Rav Yashiv learned from this that according to the Ravid, at least, the halacha, you really aren't supposed to pick your hands up over your tefillin. So he said, halacha lama. He said, nowadays, if you're a Kohen and you keep your tefillin on, let's say after davening, and you're going over to the bookshelf to go get a sefer, you should not pick your hands. Actually, forget that. Even regular people, forget that. Even non-Kohanim, mm-hmm. You should not pick up your hands over your head to go get a sefer. Right? You should ask somebody who's already taken off, or I close the window. Yeah, you should ask somebody who's already taken off his tefillin.
But what is the issue? Picking
your hand up over the name of Hashem. Shem Hashem. You shouldn't pick your hand up. It's a good question. I don't know. That's the Mishnah. That's what the Mishnah says, though. It's not appropriate to pick your hands up.
You carry your tefillin above your head.
You mean even once you're even yeah, once yeah. They're not on your head, shouldn't
it's
they
not
be?
Just like it seems like a made up thing. Where'd you get
that from? Yeah. I never heard that.
Saying why? What's the big deal about putting your head over Shem Hashem?
You have the tefillin in your arm, and that's so the Barba Kedusha as well, and it's got a Kaddish Baruch.
It goes along. So you're not above it.
It's a good question, and Rabbi Yehuda actually maintains that, yeah, it's not a big deal. Rabbi Yehuda says that there's nothing disrespectful about that, but the Rabbanan don't agree. Halach l'maisa, I don't think we are choshesh for the Ravid and for his opinion. We just assume that the tefillin is different than it sits.
When
did
we start wearing tefillin?
Five years ago,
there was tefillin already.
In the time of Moshe Rabbeinu, there was tefillin. Sure, it says in the Torah you have to wear tefillin.
It's a writer.
Can you at the same time argue that it's not relevant anyway because? It's Dafka Kohanim's hands that are going up.
I'm not sure why it should be only Kohanim's.
As opposed to anyone wearing Shem Hashem being able to raise that.
I'm not sure why it should be different. Why should a Yisrael be able to do it if a Kohen can't do it?
You're assuming maybe it's in the bracha is not coming from the Kohen
so
or whatever else.
Then Rav Yashiv's whole point falls away. But Rav Yashiv's point was that this applies even to mundane things that you're going to do.
But to the Kohen, he says specifically not to the...
I don't think he says only Kohanim. It doesn't make sense for him to say only Kohanim.
You think the opposite. You think that Kohanim could, because the skin is resting on the hands. So.
Well, that's it.
No, but here, you're going to do something else. You're going to do something stam, like close the window. Yeah, it doesn't really matter who you are.
It's more understandable than Kohanim not being
able to. Okay, so that is the Mishnah. All right, now we're going to go into the Gemara. On the source sheets, we have two sections. One is called Makom HaMitzvah, and on the bottom it says Al Mi HaMitzvah. And I'll just give you a sneak peek without looking at the sources themselves, but something to keep in mind as we go through the Gemara. The two subjects that we're going to deal with is, it seems that there are two aspects to the Mitzvah of Birchas Kohanim. One has to do with it being done in the Mikdash, and one is what we do in the Gvulin. You see in the Mishnah that it differentiates between how the Kohanim did it, conducted themselves in the Mikdash, versus how they conducted themselves in Chutzla Mikdash. That's one issue. And the other issue that I want to keep in mind is whose mitzvah is it? Meaning, who is obligated in this mitzvah? There's one obvious answer, but think about whether or not that's the only answer. Okay.
So just one question before you go. When did they do it?
That's a great question. In other words, what time of day or once a day, probably at Shacharis, and probably not at at each korban. The institution of doing it at each tefillah does not correspond to what they did in the Mikdash, which is important.
They
did it once in the morning. Well, they had korbanos. The tefillot were instituted later. But the tefillot were instituted, the formal tefillot were instituted later.
Was the whole crowd of Yisrael in there watching the...
There were definitely some. Okay. There definitely were some.
And it's done for their benefit? The ones receiving the vodka?
Presumably, yeah.
So then the next question is, how do they come to do it in the Medina? Because the Kavanot were only in the Mikdash.
So by that time already, they did have tefillah.
The
coin. So either they did it, I don't know, that's a good question, but either they did it during the context of tefillah, or maybe they did it even just once a day. But I think probably the answer is during tefillah, and that's what the Mishnah is saying. Presumably the Mishnah is written already after Anshei Knesset, instituted tefillah. That's definitely true. It's the first Mishnah in Shas is Meima Saikorna Shema V'Arvin, and then it talks about and then later on it talks about Shmona Esrei.
Right.
Okay. So the Gemara says Tanu Rabbanan. Ko tevarechu. Okay, so you might as well look at the side, by the way, for this pasuk, because this pasuk is going to be melaveh otanu the entire Gemara. Now, this is a pasuk that we just read in Parshas Naso. All this is in Yoni Diyoma. We just read Naso, so we read about Sota, and we read about Berchus Kohanim. So the second pasuk on your sheet should be Daber al Aaron ve'al banav le'mor ko tevarechu et b'nei Yisrael amor lahem. Okay? So, the Gemara says Tanu Rabbanan. Ko tevarechu b'lashon ha'kodesh. That this is, you know, this is how we started this whole conversation from the beginning of the perek. Do you have to do it in Hebrew, or could it be done in the vernacular? So, Ne'amar kan kot varchuv, Ne'amar lahalon eile yamdu levarich esa'am. This is talking about the brachos har grizin har eval, which was already established that was definitely done in Hebrew. So they made a connection that over there it's a bracha and over here it's a bracha. Malahalam b'lashon kodesh afkan b'lashon kodesh. So they say just like the brachos of Grizim Har Yevah had to be in Hebrew, so too the brachos of Berchus Kohanim had to be in Hebrew.
So Halavai will do it in Shul in Hebrew.
The Berchus Kohanim?
Yeah.
Why?
More of a language system.
Because there are some strange words that some people say that.
So, we do our best. And Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Eino Tzarich, Hare Omer Ko Ad Shiyomer B'Lashem Hazeh. So Rabbi Yehuda disagrees. He says, he doesn't disagree with the premise, he just disagrees with the source text. He says, you don't need that. It says, Ko Ad Shiyomer B'Lashem Hazeh, meaning Ko is a very particular, like, this is how you say it. When the Torah says, Ko Tevarchu, it means Dafka, like this. These words, this language. If you look at Tosis, by the way, in the top left, V'nema lahalan eile yamdu levarich says that's from the Har Grizim Har Yevah one. He says tema, he says this is a wonder. Adrabba, it should be the opposite. Ema v'noma lahalan v'achalta v'savata uverachta. It says that you have to do a bracha malahalan b'cholashon. The halacha is that with Birkas Amazon, you can do it in any language. You're allowed to do it in the vernacular. So if it says Ubirachta here and it says Ubirachta there, so how do you know which one is the anchor? V'yeshlomer to bistaber leitzveilem elef berchas kohanim v'berchas kargrizin. Kargrizin makes more sense. The shtein mefurash b'Torah, because they're both the words of both of those brachos are actually mefurash b'Torah. The habrachos atzmanami mefurashos. Shayahefech haklalos hamefurashos. The truth is, you don't have all the brachos mefurash b'Torah, but you have the klalos, so you can learn what the brachos are. Avalashon berachas amazon ain't mefurash b'Torah, but berachas amazon is not mefurash by the Torah. Where does the brachos of berachas amazon come from? Well,
the text.
I would say I'm checking us out
of Sorry. Where do the brachos of berachas amazon come from? There's four brachos in berachas amazon.
Don't they come from the answer?
We usually understand that three of them are Daraisa, one of them is Darabana. But the first one was written by, according to the Gemara Moshe Rabbeinu, the second one is written by Yehoshua, and the third is written by David and Shlomo, and then the fourth is Tova Meitiv is from Anche Beitar, that's already much, much later. The interesting thing about the first being from Moshe Rabbeinu is that, you know, in the Sfardim, so they add on Kamur Potech Et Yedecha, right? Which is a pasuk in Tehillim. So how can Moshe have said it? It's a pasuk in Tehillim. David wrote Tehillim.
Oh, David looked in Beit HaTamazon.
So the Mabit says, and this is a principle that's just a fascinating principle, and it picks up on this in other places, that just because it says something later in Tanakh doesn't mean that it wasn't said earlier in Tanakh by somebody else. It just wasn't actually written in the text. Moshe Rabbeinu may have said the entire parak of Ashrei, and David just wrote it down later on. It's difficult only because we actually have Tefillah LeMoshe, right? We have some Tehillim that actually are cited in the name of Moshe. But it could be that David actually said Potecha Dedecha Mesbir L'Chol Charetzon, and later on, when it was compiled as a bracha, they inserted it like that because it became a pasuk in Tehillim. We have another one of these, actually, one of our favorite psukim, one of the most important psukim in the Torah, some say. Shema Yisrael, right? According to the Medrash, it was originally said by Yaakov Avinu. Mm-hmm. Well, actually, it was originally said by Yaakov Avinu's sons, right? So, depending on how seriously and how literally you take that Medrash, it could be that Moshe Rabbeinu said, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, that wasn't very original. He was actually just quoting Yaakov Avinu. So that's another interesting aspect of that. But either way, this Tosfos says that that's why it's more likely that we learn the dinim of how to make the bracha from Hargrisim and Harival, because the words are Mefurash Bakra. Okay. You'll see in the next Tosfos, just a tiny little one, he says, the Rabbanan don't buy Rabbi Huda's proof, because they say kol doesn't mean dafka like this, it just means like this. Kacha, meaning just similar to these words. In theory, it could have been in English.
Like.
Okay. Tanya idach. Another brisa. We're going to be quoting a ton of brisas over here. Ko tvarchu ba'amida. It has to be standing. So the Gemara says, Ata omer ba'amida, you know, filu b'yeshiva. How do you know? How do you know it has to be standing? Maybe you could even do it sitting. Maybe the Kohanim can sit while they're doing it. No, Markam Kotavarchu, Venemar Lahalan, Ela Yamdu Levarich. Remember the pasuk that we just had? They have to stand to do the bracha. Malahalan Bamida Afkan Bamida. So we're learning not only the words from Har Grizim and Har Eval, but also their stature, how they were standing, a lot of other things, the context. The fact that they had to be standing, so too, by Berchus Kohanim, they have to be standing. Rabbi Natan Omer, he's a stand-in for Rabbi Yehuda, Einu Tzarich. He says, no, you don't need that. Harei Omer, L'shar So, U'levarich B'shmo. Right, this is talking about our Shevet Levi, when they carry the Aron, so they have to do it standing, obviously. They have to stand in front of Hashem, and they have to serve Him. So, Mamish Shareis Ba'amida, Afm Varech Ba'amida. Just like when you serve Hashem, you have to always do it standing. You have to be standing in the Mikdash. So, too, when you do the Bracha, you have to be standing. Because it says, L'shar So, U'levarech B'shmo. So, the L'sharet is connected to L'varech. You have to be standing for both of them. So now we say, wait a second, the Gemara says, well, how do you know that you have to be standing for Sherut, for service? How do you know the Kohanim have to stand while they're in the Mikdash? Dechtiv la'amod l'sharis. Because it says, la'amod l'sharis, says you have to stand while you're serving Hashem. Okay. That's another principle, that the Kohanim have to actually stand. If they are sitting when they make the bracha, they have to go back and do it again while standing. Tani idoch kotvarchu b'nesias kapayim. So this is a funny one. Atomer b'nesias kapayim ohino ela shelo b'nesias kapayim. It's funny because we call the whole phenomenon nesias kapayim. They're saying, how do you know you have to actually pick up your hands? Maybe you just have to stand there and say the bracha. Who said you have to actually pick up your hands while you're doing it? Ne'emar kan kotvarchu v'ne'emar lahalon v'yisa aron es yadav el ha'am v'yivarechem. Where's this? This is from the Mishnah, but where was that? When did this happen? Vayisaron es yadav el ha'am vayivarechem. Yes, that was Chinuch HaMishkan, Chanukah HaMishkan. Aaron got up and he stood. And Rashi on the spot says, what bracha did he give? Birchas Kohanim, which hadn't been instituted yet. So the Ramban disagrees. The Ramban says, no, you just give them a bracha. He made up a bracha and he gave it to them. But the point is that he had to do it in Nesias Kapayim. So just like he had to do it in Nesias Kapayim there, he has to do it, the Kohanim nowadays, or in the Mikdash, had to do it with Nesias Kapayim. Afkan b'Nesias Kapayim. Kashale the Rav Yonasan. So Rav Yonasan asked the question, Ima lahalan koin gadol v'rosh chodesh v'avodas tzibur. Wait a second. You're going to learn from Aaron's bracha? Aaron's bracha was a very, very special day. That was a special day of Rosh Chodesh and Avodas Tzibur. Afkan koin gadol v'rosh chodesh v'avodas. Maybe only koin gadol has to do it. But Nesias Kapayim, maybe it has to be a special day. Maybe it has to be Avodas Tzibur. How do you know that Stam Koin has to do Nesias Kapayim? That he has to pick up his hands? Rav Nasan Omer, Einu Tzarich, Harayu Omer, who? So he says, that's not a proof. We don't learn it from Vayisa Aaron as Yadav. He says, we learn it from Hu Uvanav Kol Hayamim. We learn it from the fact that Aaron's actions are connected to his children's actions, including Nan Kohanim Gedolim. Makish Banav Lo Mao Benesias Kapayim, Av Banav Benesias Kapayim. Uksiv Kol Hayamim, and by the way, it's all the time. So it's not just the fact that they're not going Kohanim Gedolim, but also any day. Vi'id Kash Bracha L'Sheiros, and we know that the Bracha is connected to Avodas Kohanim, so it always has to be Benesias Kapayim. So Rionasan says that that's the proof. That's how we know that it has to be Benesias Kapayim. We learned a few dinim. We learned they have to stand. We learned they have to do it in Hebrew. They have to do it Benesias Kapayim. Another one. V'tan yidach kotev barachos b'nei Yisrael b'shem ha-mifarash. It has to be b'shem ha-mifarash. Obviously, this is talking about in the Mikdash. But let's just say in general. It has to be b'shem ha-mifarash, which means they have to say yud kei vav kei kiksavo. They have to say it, right? They have to say it the way that we don't pronounce it. Ata omer b'shem ha-mifarash o'hine ala b'kinui. Maybe, no. Maybe it's adoshem. Tamad omer b'samu et shmi. You have to place my name. Shmi hamayuchadli. You have to do it with my name. This is from last week's parasha. Right after Berachas Kohanim, it says, V'samu shmi al b'nei Yisrael, v'ani avarachem. Shall place my name on them, and I will bless them. So that tells you that has to be his shem hamayuchad. It has to be pronounced the way that it's written. So wait a second. Then yachal af begvulin. So then why should it be any different in Ranana? In Ranana, we should also say Yivarechecha, and then we should say Shem Hashem, the way that it's written, if it's Samu et Shmi. So they say, and this is where it gets depressing, Nemar kan v'samu et Shmi, v'nemar lahalan, lasum et Shmo Sham. Malahalan beis ha-bechira, af kan beis ha-bechira. Now, where do you place it? Where does his name get placed, so to speak? Gets placed in the Beis HaBachira in the Mikdash, meaning his name is only in the Beis HaMikdash. Rabbi Yoshi Omer Einu Tzarich, we can bring another proof. HaRei Omer B'chol HaMakol Masher Askir Et Shmi Avo Eilecha Uverachticha. Right? B'chol HaMakol Sakat Eitach. So then the Gemara asks the depressing question, really? He'll put his name anywhere? Anywhere you say his name, he'll come and give a blessing? I would have said, yeah, that sounds good. No, apparently, Ela Mikra Zem is Surah, so it's backwards, it's reversed. Makom makom asher avo elecha uvirechticha sham azkiret shmi. Any place where I will come and give you a bracha, that's where you should mention my name. Where am I going to give you a bracha? Only in the Mikdash. That's where you say my name. Now, this is very, very strange, actually. Because, first of all, this pasuk is used all the time to say that Hashem shows up everywhere. Right? It's used in the Gemara in Brachos and in Pirkei Avos to say that even one person learning, right? Hashem always comes to learn with you. He's always there every time you mention his name. In Shul, the source for saying Kaddish at random times, like for instance after Aleinu, let's say, that's because we said Shem Hashem. We talked about Shem Hashem. And so we say Kaddish because b'kol makom asher askir et shmo be'elecha b'rachticha. So for the Gemara to say that, oh, it's only in the Mikdash, it's very, very strange. Because we use it all the time to say anywhere you say Hashem Hashem, he'll come and be there with you. Also, grammatically, I've never understood this pasuk. B'kol makom asher askir et shmi avo elecha b'rachticha. It's Hashem mentioning his name. But it's always
causing his name to be mentioned. Is that not the same thing?
Okay, you're saying. Okay, but I still can't understand how it would be.
The language doesn't say that.
Any place where I cause my name to be. So this Gemara, the way this Gemara reads it, is any place where I allow my name to be said, which at least captures the Azkir part, the fact that it's him. But it's the pasuk is usually understood somehow as being us mentioning Hashem's name, even though grammatically, it should be him mentioning his name. I don't know what to say about that. But either way, this is the source for mentioning Hashem's name b'mefurash only in the Mikdash. But chutz le-Mikdash, we switch it out. Tani idach, kot varchos b'nei Yisrael, ein li'ala b'nei Yisrael, geirim nashim v'avadim mishukharim minayim. It says, kot varchos b'nei Yisrael. Maybe that doesn't include the women, maybe it doesn't include the children, maybe it doesn't include the avadim mishuchrarim. Tamalomar amor lahem lukulho. Right? It's not only kot varchos b'nei Yisrael, there's also amor lahem. Now, if this is the way the Gemara is reading it, then who's lahem?
It includes it.
But who is lahem in this pasuk? Amor lahem. Who's saying things and who are they saying it to? Right, Amor Lahem. The Gemara is assuming Lahem is everybody, meaning the Kohanim should say it to everybody, correct? So hold on. Tani idach kot varchu panim keneged panim. It has to be panim keneged panim, meaning you have to be facing them. and they have to be facing you. You can't turn your back to the Kohen. Atomer panim keneged panim, oinu ala panim keneged orif. Maybe you can face away. Tomer lomar, amor lahem. Ka'adam ha'omer l'chavero. Once again, this means it's the Kohanim saying to them. So you have to be panim keneged panim. The way that the bracha is done has to be face to face. Fine. Tani'idach ko tvarchu b'kol rama o'enu ala balachash. Ko tvarchu has to be allowed. They can't whisper it. How do you know? Tamadomar amor lahem kadam sha'omer l'chavero. It has to be like you speak to people. So that's how you know that the Kohanim have to speak aloud, because it has to be, you have to be able to hear them. There's no point in saying something to somebody if they're not going to hear you. So far, everything we've seen is amor lahem means the Kohanim should say it to the non-Kohanim. Amar Abaye, natina l'shnayim kore Kohanim v'ule'echad eino kore koin. So Abaye says, we also say that when there's two Kohanim, you say Kohanim, and when there's only one Kohen,
you say nothing.
Right? Shneemar Amor Lahem. L'shnayim. Now, in this read, in Abaye's read, what does Amor Lahem mean? Say to the Kohanim. Say to the Kohanim that they should start.
Logical from the Pasuk.
Yes, it is the better read in the Pasuk, it would seem. Right? And yet, you have these contradictory reads. So the Taz actually picks up on this. He doesn't really have a great answer. He just says, yes, the Pasuk is being darshaned in different ways. And since it can be read in both ways, it's being read in both ways. It is interesting that it's all of a sudden Abaye who's an Amora. All the Braitot read it as for the Kohanim. It's Abaye all of a sudden who comes out of nowhere and says that it means the actual people. So it's almost like this sense that the Braitot are, as Pinchas is pointing out, are reading it like not the way that the Pasuk should necessarily be read. And Abaye comes back and says, no, Ein Mekiyot Zim Yidei Pshuto, let's read it the way that it should be read. There is an opposing position. V'yamar Avchista Naktinan Kohen Kore, not opposing, but different. This will be eyebrow raising. Kohen Kore Kohanim V'ein Yisrael Kore Kohanim. Only a Kohen Chazen can call out Kohanim, but a Yisrael cannot call out Kohanim. In other words, if you have another Kohen, he calls to the rest of the Kohanim, but a regular Yisrael can't read Kohanim. Shneemar, Amor Lahem, Amira, Amira Mishalahem. It has to be from them. Right, that's a real drasha. Amor Lahem Mishalahem. However, the halacha is like Abaye, but the halacha is not like Rav Chisda. Which I guess you could say means that Abaye's position, his chiddush, we've accepted. Rav Chisda's chiddush, we have not accepted. In other words, that's why we don't find that the Kohen will call out Kohanim. What?
Where is this other Kohen?
He could be one of the Kohanim that's actually going to make the bracha. Yeah. Yeah, but he may even be doing the bracha, but either way, Mishalahem, that is Rafista's Chiddush.
Abaye doesn't say that it's not a Kohen who says.
Right, no, they're not opposing positions. It just happens to be these two Amorayim, and the Gemara wants to say that the halacha is like him. Okay, we'll get back to that after. All right. Right there in the Gemara, they have a siman over here. Someone asked me recently, why do you have these simanim? The simanim here are mnemonic devices. They're to help people remember. They're not useful to us, but the Amoraim and the Tanaim needed them in order to memorize things. So here was siman mitava lebracha duchan ba'avoda kos makir nene be'agla. This is not what we just read. This is the following Gemara. This is going forward, okay? And when we finish the Gemara, we can look back and can see what all these stood for. You'll see right away. We're going to have a bunch of statements from Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi. That's what's in common here. Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi starts out making a statement about Kohanim, and then it gets a little bit stream of consciousness before getting back to Berachos Kohanim. That's what always happens to Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi, by the way. Find everywhere in the Gemara, Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi gets quoted. He always gets quoted again, and it has nothing to do with what he said previously. It's fun.
I better ask, I'm sorry, it sounds maybe a bit simplistic, but it's the Torah Shabbat effect. Right, and they need a reminder. It's like
for their conversation. Yeah.
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 What, for the order, it's like you manage to remember everything else or whatever else, you know, massive quantities.
This is one of the tricks that they use to remember things.
Then we should see it.
You do see it a lot.
You see it a lot. You see it often. Not everywhere, but you see it often.
Don't tell me because I haven't seen it enough.
No, it doesn't show up everywhere, but it shows up in a bunch of places. Sure.
It's just...
You're saying you should see it more.
I've seen.
Could be that they got some of them got lost.
Like,
yeah.
You can't really mention them because you didn't remember them anymore.
No, that's how it all, you know, accumulates, and they remember it all,
yeah.
And they commit it all to memory.
But they might not have more here, not just for a few. They might not have many, many more. Yeah, just for lots.
So. Look at the first name. Amar Rabbi Shimon Levi, Minayin Shekadosh Baruch Hu Mis'ava LeBerachas Kohanim. Kadosh Baruch Hu has a taiva. He desires Berachas Kohanim. Shnemar V'Samlo Et Shmiel B'nei Yisrael V'Ani Avarachem. Figuring out what exactly the Gemara means over here is a little bit difficult. Meaning, what's the proof? What? That means that Hashem has a taiva? V'Samlo Et Shmiel B'nei Yisrael V'Ani Avarachem. It just says, put my name on B'nei Yisrael and I will give them a bracha. So Maral says that the point over here is that Hashem wants to give a bracha. He is misava to give a bracha. And so in order to give the bracha, he needs the Kohanim to do this. So really, the Gemara should read, HaKadosh Baruch Hu misava levariches b'nei Yisrael. So therefore, he needs the Berachas Kohanim in order to channel that bracha onto b'nei Yisrael. It's required as a kli. V'amar b'shobin Levi, another one, kol kohen shemavarech misbarech. Any Kohen who gives a bracha will be blessed himself. V'she'enu mevarech, ein mitbarech. But if he doesn't, he doesn't get the bracha. Shne'emar, varevarecha, mevarechecha. This is pasuk by Avram Avinu, that those who bless you will be blessed. V'ram Yabashu ben Levi, kol Kohen she'enu ole laduchan, that's the platform, that's where that word comes from, over b'shlosha aseh. Any Kohen who doesn't go up to do brachas kohanim, he's violated three mitzvot aseh. Kotvarchu, Amor Lahem, and Samuet Shmi. So here clearly Amor Lahem is referring to the Kohanim giving the bracha. And Samuet Shmi is the kind of the effect that the bracha has.
Why does it come to the basic mitash when the Kohen want to go up?
Would he not want to go up?
Yeah, why? Why would he not want to go up?
I don't know.
No, I'm just saying today. I'm just saying today.
Same also.
Why? Why wouldn't the coin want to go up today? Joe, if I understand correctly, you're wondering how could anybody be not excited when we had a Beit HaMikdash?
Yeah.
Okay.
There's Zion fighting over the Avodah, right?
Right.
We know the Zion fighting over the Avodah. This is part of the Avodah. Like, why?
I don't know.
Exactly.
I don't know.
Maybe this is a guy that.
What?
There are many conditions under which a Kohen can't go up.
Right, but here presumably he's talking about somebody who should be going up.
It doesn't say that. So well, if he doesn't.
No, I mean, if he can't, then he's not over a mitzvah asay if he can't.
He might not be over a mitzvah asay. We're still not. No, but that's going to get this far.
You're right, but here it's saying they're mevatel three mitzvahs asay. So it's obviously talking about somebody who could.
When they wouldn't go up, and there are many conditions.
Oh, many, yes. Of course, there are many conditions when somebody would go. If you had a mum.
Yeah, sure. Then, whatever.
Say he was learning and doesn't want to be taken out of his...
He's busy. I mean, you could think of many reasons. Yeah. He's...
Too much talking during his first...
Yeah, he's busy.
So you can understand it more to him. The reverse point. It's not over if it's saying to them.
Good point, Rabbi. Good, Rabbi's making a good point. You could read Amor Lahem still as the people calling out to the Kohanim, but by not going up, they violated the directive. And that's a great point, Rabbi. In other words, it won't work. It won't help us for the other Gemara. Because other Gemara assumes that it's the Kohanim saying things. But it's a great point that it's kind of a two-way street. Once you understand Amor Lahem is referring to the Yisraelim calling out to the Kohanim, they're both kind of in that pasuk now. Okay. Rav has a different take. Chosh Shin Shema Ben Grusho Ben Chalutzahu. Rav takes another step, and he says, if the Kohen doesn't go up, then we're actually Choshesh, that he's a Chalal. Right. Any Kohen who is the son of a Kohen who married a Grusha, or that Kohen himself while he is married to the Grusha, doesn't get to do Berachas Kohanim. And so, they're Choshesh, that they're a Chalal. because he's not going up, and that's the reason why he's not going on. So wait, but which one is it? Because he's much more severe. V'lo pligi, they're not arguing. Had the salik leprakim, had the lo salik leprakim. Rav is...
Can I just ask on that point, if he's a son, if he's a Ben Grusha.
Yeah.
Surely he's just Yisrael, so we wouldn't know.
No,
we
he's not.
He's still technically a Kohen, but he's not.
We wouldn't know his history.
So you know that you see his father go up, and then he doesn't go... Well, his father... Well, you see it theoretically, his father goes up, and then he doesn't go up. Why? Because his father already divorced... His father already divorced the Grusha. This happens. This happens. Yeah, I've heard a bunch of stories. So Ben Grusha Michal. Okay, so how does it work? So had the salik leprakim, had the lo salik leprakim. Rav Yehoshua ben Levi is talking about somebody who just occasionally doesn't go up. Like this time he didn't go up. So the point is that this time that you didn't go up, you violated three averos. But if somebody consistently doesn't go up, then we're choshesh that he's a Ben Grusha ben Chalutza. Amar Rav Yehoshua ben Levi, kol kohen she'eino ola ba'avoda shuv eino ola. If he doesn't go up at the point in davening of basically Ritzei, of the beginning of the Avoda section of Chazaras Hashatz, then he cannot go up anymore. Right? So he has from the beginning of, basically till the end of Ritzei, to start going up.
Yeah.
It is, 100%.
Most often, either Kabbalah don't know or Bali Spiller don't know. And they rush through. And
right. And sometimes Kohanim don't know.
There's different Jewish about what's considered
yes.
going up at Ritzei.
Shneamar vayisa Aaron as the other v'la'am vayivarchem vayered ma'asot hachatat v'ha'olav v'ashlam imalahalam b'avoda afkam b'avoda. It has to be during the avoda. The point over here is that the berachas Kohanim, the placement of it is during the avoda. So then the Gemara wants to know ini. What does ini mean?
Really?
Is that true? Rav Ami Rav Asi Salki. But Rav Ami Rav Asi used to go up after the Avoda. Rav Ami Rav Asi Mikara Havu Akri Karayo. No. Mimata. Mimata lo matu hata. They used to literally stand with their feet together, but they used to start moving at the Avoda. They used to start moving from their seats or from their section at the Avoda, even if they didn't get up to the Dukhan before it was time for Brechas Kohan, before the Avoda, they would start to move at that point, and that was good enough. In other words, if you're still in the middle of your Shmona Esrei, Tfilah Belachash, by the time that the Kohen, by the Chazan gets up to Ritzei, or possibly the end of Ritzei, so then you really are, you're out. You can't do Brechas Kohan.
Isn't that a problem then, Ralph? Isn't after Mina of it? Shouldn't you speed up your Amidah?
What's the halacha in mind?
I mean, if you can't, you can.
What if Amidah and yet it goes to be on the right of it? I'm not going up.
I don't know if you're...
But we say that it's only...
So you should speed up your davening? I don't think so.
Then you're not missing the
mitzvah
that you do.
Yeah?
What's the Baal Tefillah
meant to
do to it?
Baal Tefillah is meant to wait for Ritzei.
He's meant to sing Yisrael for the Malafat Chagai.
That means wait for Ritzei. Also, the whole idea of Midah Reis is there's an opinion of if this one's on Shabbos, for example, it's either Shabbos or Mitzvah. It has to be today.
Well,
it can't be.
One during the week, so we're going to slow down.
If
it doesn't
be Shabbos. Yeah. But also, saying there's different. She talked about whether it's from washing the hands, from taking the shoes off, it's from actually going up.
I'm talking about a guy who davens his Amidah slow, doesn't even get
there. If they're either have to walk out or the.
But even by walking out, he's not doing it, right?
Uh-huh.
It's
always this fear also that someone will say the reason he didn't go up is because something's...
But that only applies when you consistently don't go up.
So
I mean, that's what this says.
So someone on Shabbat about on Dafka on...
That's what the Gemara says.
On Rosh Hashanah? No, on Yom Kippur, sorry, on Yom Kippur. I can't remember where. Always there's a question with Mincha. If someone goes up accidentally
No, it's true. The minhag is that the kohanim do run out. You're right. The kohanim do go out if they're not going to do it.
Everybody else goes out. Even that's true. It's one time. So that's right. It's one time, and it's just in case people will think that they're
that's
not.
Right. That's right.
That they're not.
Right. That's
able
right.
To make bracha.
Yeah.
So then it's not that it's consistently. It's in this case,
I'm saying based on the Gemara, you can only claim that that was a problem if you do it consistently. But you're right. The common practice nowadays is always to run out if you're not going to end up doing the brachas kohanim. Like avelim, let's say. Right, the minhag of many is that the whole 12 months of Avelos, a kohen doesn't do brachas kohanim, so he goes out.
He's going out purely so that it doesn't cast dispersion on him being a different kohen. There's no reason he couldn't stand and receive the bracha.
No, he can. He could. A chazen, right? The chazen, very often, like if they're standing in the middle of the shul, right, and in many kehilot, in other places. The chazan, if he's a kohen, does not do brachas kohanim, mm-hmm. Right? Is so it? He receives the bracha. I think we usually have somebody else call out, right? Yes. Somebody
we
else reads.
We also have a minute that they actually do the bracha.
Not when they're usually in the middle. If they're davening musaf from the middle of the room, I think they usually do not.
If you don't have a
musaf, Menachem always goes up in front.
If it's a kohen,
sometimes, but if they don't,
some
no,
from the front.
But even Musaf, sometimes.
Some
isn't
davening
on
Shul.
Yontif.
What?
Menachem usually goes up front when he davenes Musaf.
On Shabbos?
Menachem is the only one who does.
Yes. They all do. Because
he knows what he's doing.
That's right. I just realized.
The biggest issue.
As you turn around,
you just rush.
Okay, so let's keep going because we don't have a lot of time. Let's keep going. I'll go to Ola. Tnan Nami, and they have another Mishnah that says, Im havtachato shenoseat kapav v'chozer l'tfilato rashai. This is talking about a chazin who's, so this is a practice you're not going to recognize. Here you have a chazin who's davening, who's a kohen. So it says that if he's sure that he can go up to the duchan, do his brachas kohanim, and then come back and continue from where he started, from where he left off rather, then he can do that. So what does that mean? So look at this. But wait a second, he didn't separate his feet. Ella did not porta. He moved a tiny bit and then he was able to go up. In other words, the practice that they're describing is that the chazan, who is a kohen, he actually moves his feet at Ritzay and then goes up to the duchan. Somebody else calls out the brachos. He finishes, he comes back down to the teva, and he continues davening from there. We don't do this. Right. The Shulchan Aruch actually records this way. Shulchan Aruch mentions this, but this is not the practice.
Isn't moving his feet a problem?
No. Maybe it wasn't moving his feet a problem. He just walked up to the duchan. We don't do that. I'm Rabbi Shimon Levi. Okay, let's actually skip this part. Skip this part. He uses non Berachas Kohanim stuff. Jump all the way down to... Here, to two line, the second wide line. Second wide line, Amar Ada Amar Abisimlai. You ready? Amar Ada Amar Abisimlai. Basic Nesu Shukula Kohanim, Kulan Olin Laduchan. What happens if you have a shul that the entire minyan is Kohanim? What do they do? Kulan Olin Laduchan. They all go up. Who are they making a bracha to? To the people who are outside the shul. They're making a bracha. It's like that. You saw that video once where the rabbi comes in and everybody puts recorders on the thing.
Yeah.
Puts recorders in front of him, like one after another, and then he looks up and there's no one in the room. So he takes a device out and he turns it on and he presses play, and you have just one device playing to the other devices. So here, the kohanim with no one in the shul, saying brachas kohanim. And who is it for? It's for the people in the Sadeh, people who are outside the shul. So the Gemara says, Ini, is that true? V'atani, Abba Breder of Binyamin Barchia. Am Sha'acharei HaKohanim, Enon B'chlal Bracha. But people who aren't facing the Kohanim aren't involved in the Bracha. So how can you count people who are not even in shul? Lokasha, Hadanisi, Hadalu Anisi. No. When are they not included in the Bracha? When they can't be there. When they can't be there, when they're not in shul because they're busy working. But if they're in shul, and they're not visible or they're not facing the Kohanim, then they're out of the bracha. V'atani Rav Shimi mibirta di shichuri beit haKnesset shekula Kohanim miktzatan olin umiktzatan onin amin. Oh, but we have another record, the Brisa, that says that some of the Kohanim go up and some of them stay back and say amin. So what's going on there? Lo kasha, had ishtayer be asara, had delo ishtayer be asara. When do you have Kohanim staying back? When you have 10 Kohanim that can stay back and answer. So then, miksatan olin laduchan vasara onan amin. I'm reading Rashi. When you have more than 10 Kohanim, so then some of them go up and 10 stay back. By the way, this doesn't mean that you have to have 10 Yisraelim answering. Doesn't mean that.
How do you decide which go? Run up the ramp.
I don't know.
Auction it.
I don't know.
I remember reading once about a community somewhere.
Jerba.
Gibraltar?
Jerba. Tunis.
There's order of all corn, the most from
Shul. Oh, yeah?
There's a shul in Manila like that.
Yeah, that's well, that is the Afghani shul.
It's an island.
They're all Kohanim?
Some people in Marcosa talk about that.
Interesting.
That they come from there. Tunisia, yes.
Okay.
There's a beautiful shul there.
Let's finish the Gemara. Let's finish the Gemara. So the Gemara says, Gufa, Tana Amba Breder of Minyam and Barchia, Am Shacharia Kohanim, Einan Bechlal Bracha. Remember we said that? Pshita Arichi Ba'ape Gutzi Lama Mavsike. So it's obvious that Arichi, people who are tall, who are standing in front of people who are short, that it doesn't prevent the short people from getting the bracha. Pshita, that you know, one person standing in front of another doesn't prevent them. However, teva, it's also obvious that teva lo mafaska. If there's the actual teva, right, of the chazan also doesn't block, and the Aron HaKodesh doesn't block. But mechitza mai. What happens if there's actual mechitza in between? There are people who are standing behind the mechitza, or women. What about the women who are behind the mechitza? Do they get the bracha? So the Gemara answers. Tashma Adam Rabbi Yishev ben Levi Afilu Mechitza Shav Barzel Einam Afseket Ben Yisrael Levim Shav Hashemayim. Even an iron curtain couldn't prevent the bracha coming from Hashem, because that's what's happening here, to get to the people. The only way you can get it is if you're not facing the Kohen.
You just said you can get it outside of the shul.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
There's no physical barrier. It's a personal barrier. It's if you decide. If you're
that's the point that Tosas makes. By the way, if you look on the bottom right, Tosas says it's dafka when they're anus. When dafka b'delo anise. We're talking about people who are not anus. That is a problem for it. But people who are anus, then even the Amshe B'Sados get it.
And in fact, you're not meant to have specific people in mind anyway, so it includes not just the killer in front of you,
Okay, if we can quickly go through some of the sources on the sheet, we're obviously not going to get through all of them. We do have a hard stop at 9:45. We have 10 people? Awesome. So we have a hard stop at 9:45 to Davin Ma'ariv then. So, Makam HaMitzvah. So the first subject that I want to talk about is there's two aspects to the Berachas Kohanim, right? One aspect might be it's part of tefillah. In other words, you're supposed to have a Berachas Kohanim as part of tefillah so that the Kohanim can bless the people. But there does seem to be another aspect. You know, one of the themes that we had throughout the Gemara was that where was the original placement of Berachas Kohanim? In what context was it?
The Kodesh.
The Avodah. It was in the context of the Avodah. So which is it? Is its placement in tefillah or is its placement in Avodah? Which one is it? Does it matter? So, if you take a look at the source sheet, so we have the Gemara in Tanis. The Gemara in Tanis says, "Duchli alma," and what are the nafkaminas? We'll have to explain. "Duchli alma mias shikor aser b'nisias kapayim." The Gemara in Tanis says, "A kohen who is drunk cannot do nisias kapayim." Minani mili, "Am Rabbi Yishev ben Levi mishum bar kapara." Lama nisbucha parshas kohen mevarech the parshas nazir. Why was parshas kohen the berachas kohen put next to the nazir? Lomer man nazir aser b'yayin af kohen mevarech aser b'yayin. Teaching you this, by the way, at Shal Shudis on Shabbos, I pointed out that the Kliyaka had a beautiful drasha on the word ko tevarchu. He says the word ko means not forward, it's going backwards. It would just finish the parsha of Nazir. It says, just like the Nazir can't be drunk, ko tevarchu. Like a Nazir, you should give the brachos to the Bnei Israel. Matkif la'avua de Rabbi Zeir ve'amila Rishaya bar Zavta ima nazir aser b'chartzan afkoin mevarech aser b'chartzan. So you should be not only allowed to have even grapes, right? Amar Rabbi Yitzchak Amar Akra L'Sharso L'Varach B'Shmo Ma Mishare Es Motor B'Charz and Afkan B'Varach Motor B'Charz. Nah, don't go that far. It goes by Mishare. It goes by what you need for the Avoda. For the Avoda, you're allowed to have grapes, but you're not allowed to be drunk. Ima Mishare Es Bal Mumlo. Wait a second. If it's about the Avoda, then that means a person who's a Bal Mum who can't be involved in the Avoda can't give Berachas Kohanim if it's all the same. Afkan B'Varach Bal Mumlo. Do we allow mumim in Kohanim when they're doing the bracha?
No.
Yeah. Sure?
Generally not.
Sure we do.
Like, what depends?
Unless it's distracting.
What's defined as a mum?
Lots of things. There are lots of things that are defined as mum.
No, but what would really prevent...
Let's say a Kohen was missing an ear.
Okay.
If it's something that's going to distract the Kehillah, then I'll let you know.
Yeah, but the Kehillah doesn't look at the coin.
Exactly. So that, and they are allowed to. And they are allowed to.
But there are, but there does come to a point. Like
there are mumim, but they're not. They're not alts mum. It's not alts mum that they're. Yeah. It's not because it's a mum that they're not allowed to go. It's because it's distracting. But there are mumim that are technical. Technical women that they're not allowed to be do the avodah of Mikdash, but they're allowed to do
Brachas Kohanim. That's a lefty is considered a woman.
That's right. That's Medina de Gemara. That's true.
Really?
Medina de Gemara. I don't know whether it would be true now. You know, nowadays I have no idea. Rav Yehuda. Where did I go? Okay. Now we make the connection to Nazir. In other words, all these things are really just asmachtas. They're really just asmachtas. It's not a real connection from Mishares to Mevarech. Which means that the connection between the Avoda and Berachas Kohanim is not that strong. It's only an Asmachta, which according to most is really only Midrabanan. Contrast that with, look at the sheet again, the first side of the sheet, Tosas on the bottom left. Tosas on the bottom left, Harehu. It's the third from the last. Harehu Omer, B'chol Makom Asher Avoy Lecha Berachticha, right? So, here is where he talks a lot about the Beis HaMikdash, but if you jump all the way down to the bottom, he says, Venira Lari, like three lines from the bottom of the Tosos, Nira Lari, Kohen Shabirech Birchas Kohanim B'Yeshiva Lo Asav Lo Klum, a Kohen who did the bracha sitting, didn't do anything, Hoel V'Idkush Bracha L'Sherut, V'Gabi Sherut, Amar Perakam Adizvachim, Beis Adizvachim, D'Yoshim Mechala Lavod, D'Hilkach Afkan Tzerech Lachsor L'Varach Mu'umad. Tosos sees it as a Doraisa, as a real din that you have to have, and our Gemara, frankly, seem to go that direction, that it's a real din, that all the dinim of Sherus also apply to Berachas Kohanim. Which would mean what? Which would mean... Wait, where was the mum one? There was a mum one. Ah, we're going to see it later. Hold on. We're going to see it later. Go back to the sheet for a second. You look at it, contrast the Rambam with himself. In the Sefer HaMitzvos, how does he describe the mitzvah of Berachas Kohanim? This happens to be that he's in the context of what's called of the avoda over there. He's talking about the Beis HaMikdash in the organization of the Rambam. Rambam doesn't do it according to parsha like Chinuch does. He does it according to themes. So over here, he happens to be in the theme of the Mikdash. So there, he seems to be connecting to that. However, in the Mishnah Torah, he says, "This is where do you find the halachos of Berachas Kohanim?" In Hilchos Tefila, it's literally Hilchos Tefila Unesias Kapayim. It's literally they're connected. So Havera Ketzad Kohen Shaharegas a Nefesh. So if you have a Kohen that had killed somebody, so even if he did tshuva, you shouldn't do Unesias Kapayim. And later on, he writes Ubracha Keavod Dehishneim Alashar Sodarach Bishmo V'chein Kohen Shehimer La'akom Alpha Bishachazer Bo Einu Noses Kapav La'olam V'shar Averos Ein Monim. So you have this kind of dialectic over here. Of Birchas Kohanim and Tefillah, and Birchas Kohanim and Avodas. And so which one is it closer to is the big question. So for instance, in the Tosas in the next one, this is the Tosas based on Tanis, he says, Midikachazin, he writes, That's the Gemara in Tanis that we just read before. It rejected the connection between Mishares and Mevarech, between the Avoda and Berachas Kohanim. In Kenyar Adelin and Isias Kapayim, Kohen Balmum, Nozikapav. That's why a Kohen Balmum is allowed to do Berachas Kohanim. Also, a Kohen who becomes a Kofar also. It doesn't affect him at all. I mean, most of the halachos that apply to a Kohen and disqualify him from the Avoda don't disqualify him from Birchas Kohanim and some other things. So you have this dispute pretty much between the Tosos and Ardaf and the Tosos and Tanis about the strength of the connection between Birchas Kohanim and the Avoda. You know, we'll stop there for that subject, because I want to go to the next subject. But you have this dialectic over there, and it winds its way through our Gemara. You'll notice that all the time it said, you know, this is the pasuk that proves this, and then they say, no, you have this other pasuk. Most of the time, it's contrasting a regular pasuk with a pasuk about the avoda. So you have this tug of war over there, which actually led some achronim, not most, but some achronim to say that actually, even nowadays, the Birchas Kohanim that we do in tefillah is only midarabanan. Only the Birchas Kohanim in the Mikdash was daraisa. This is not how we paskin. But that would be the logical conclusion. If you want to make a really, really strong connection between Birchas Kohanim and the Avoda, then the bracha that we do nowadays is nice, but it's not the primer.
How does that shita work with the original when we discussed working in the outside the Mikdash?
Exactly. The institution of that bracha in Chutz the Mikdash was only midarabanan, which explains, frankly, it explains a lot of the differences. I mean, you don't need it to explain the differences, but. Like on Yom Kippur? So they didn't do Berachas Kohanim every single time they brought a korban. They did it once a day. Now, since we've attached it. It was at a korban in the morning, yeah.
Are you saying that in the Beit HaMikdash there was no...
I don't think there was...
There was no Ne'ilah anywhere.
Yeah, there was no korban. No,
there was no korban, but I said there was Birkas.
Yom Kippur...
Yeah.
Berachas Kohanim.
The fact that we've added Birkas Kohanim to Ne'ilah is the Rabbanan.
No, well we've attached Berachas Kohanim to tefillah, the Avoda in Shmona Esrei. It actually should be every day, every tefillah that we say, except for Maariv. It should be in every tefillah that we make. Theoretically, it even should be in Maariv, but we don't go that far. It should be at Mincha every day. This is what we talked about. This is within the Parsha Sheet. We should be, and we've done this. We've actually discussed this subject about why we say it in Ne'ilah, but we don't say it in Mincha. We should be saying it at every Mincha. We say it in Mincha on Tanis when we daven Mincha late, right? We do. We should. We daven Mincha earlier, we don't, because Midin and the Gemara are not supposed to. That's the whole point. But in theory, yes, you say it at Mincha. Berachas Kohanim. Because we've attached it to the Avoda. Whether that's Daraisa, whether we actually invented a Daraisa there is a big question. Definitely at least once a day, we assume that it is Daraisa. Actually, there was one point from that, is it here? No. Oh, that's the next thing we're going to talk about. Al miha mitzvah. Who has the mitzvah? So, obviously, the Kohanim have a mitzvah. The question is, do the Yisraelim have a mitzvah? This is a famous Sefer HaCharedim, made famous by the Be'er Lacha, Chafetz Chaim. He says, Kasav Sefer HaCharedim, on the bottom of the page, mitzvah z'asei levarech kohen es Yisrael, shnei markot v'arachos b'nei Yisrael, obvious. V'Yisrael ha'omdim panim k'neged p'nei ha'kohanim b'shtika u'mechavnim libam l'kabal b'rachasam d'var Hashem, hem na'ami b'chlal ha'mitzvah. What did the Sefer HaCharedim just say? He said that the Yisraelim have a mitzvah to be mivorach.
He's just saying we've got the mitzvahs to be there for davening.
No, he says that the mitzvah is lechaven libam lekabel berchatam kedvar Hashem. That they're involved in the mitzvah. Now, there's a lot of ways to read this. Involved in the mitzvah could simply mean, let's say, for instance, that they have a chilek in the mitzvah. For instance, there's a famous ran about women and puruvu. Right. We all know that only men have puruvu. That's what the Gemara says. But all the time, we see that women seem to have the mitzvah of puruvu, despite the fact that they don't. So the ran explains that they have a chilek in the mitzvah, meaning they're involved in the mitzvah even if they don't have a chiyuv.
Yeah.
The mitzvah. Not in the, I didn't say anything about the act. I said in the mitzvah. Now, the same thing could be said. Obviously, Yisraelim are an indispensable part of Birchas HaKohanim, because without them, there is no Birchas HaKohanim. But it seems that the Sefer HaRedim is saying more than that. You don't find this in the Rishonim. In fact, you find the exact opposite. Look at the Kedusha HaRitva on the next side. Here the Ritva is in the Sugya and Sukkah about Baal Tosif, right? And they're talking about Baal Tosif with Lulav and Etrog and Tzitzis and Birchas Kohanim. And he lays down a rule. If you do a mitzvah the way that the Torah says it, and then you do it again, same mitzvah, you do it again, but the same way that you did it the first time. Because you want to do a hider mitzvah. But the satan, and to confuse the satan, what's he referring to?
Shofar.
Shofar, we blow the shofar 100 times. How many times do we have to blow it? Probably 9 tops. 3, 9. But we do it a lot more. Why isn't that Baal Tosif? He says, because you're just doing the mitzvah the same way again. That's not a problem. What?
Once.
No.
You don't have blood.
No. You have to do it at least 3 times. At least 3 times, and then you have to do 9 times. You have to do 3 times. Drashos over there. The drashos over there. The core d'araisa is 9 times, and then it got expanded to 30, and then we expanded it to 100.
Because of Baal Tosif.
Because of Baal Tosif? The Ein bazeh mishum Baal Tosif. Ela imkein hikpid. So when's Baal Tosif, by the way? When do you have Baal Tosif? 5 corners on your tzitzis, 3 corners on your tzitzis. Adding on orange to your lulav and etrog.
Two pairs of
tefillin. Almost got me there. Oh. 5 parshiot in the tefillin. 2 parshiot in the tefillin.
More than one. More than 7 aliyot.
No, sorry. Elim kein hikmir akazav beferes shelo kafel. Unless the Torah actually said not to do it more than once. Ukinyan shematzina b'kohen. When he says ukinyan, he's going on the good one. Ukinyan shematzina b'kohen sheola laduchan. Like a kohen that goes up to the duchan. Sheena metuva el levarich pam achas. We only have to do it once. Kedamrin and hasam beperakar u dei bay matzli vi bay lo matzli. He could do it again or he could not do it again. Omer sheena kohen metuva el levarich es Yisrael ba'asei el pam achas. Kohen only have to do it once. If they can do it again, if they want, then there's no Baal Tosif. But you'll tell me, no. They're not doing it again for themselves. It's like when you come home from shul and you already made kiddush in shul, so you're making a kiddush again for your wife, and then somebody comes over for lunch, you make kiddush again. Everybody knows you can do that. You're allowed to do that to be motzi acherim, even if you're av bishayatza motzi. So that's what he's doing with the kohen. Right, you'll say he's being motzi acherim, so he's allowed to do the bracha, because maybe this Yisrael wasn't that shachris, the early shachris, he only came to the late shachris, there's not a kohen there, so you got to go and take care of him. No. Deleka chiyuva Yisrael hitbarech mitzvah kohenim. Ritva says black on white, no ifs, ands, or buts, there is no mitzvah for Yisrael to get birchas kohanim. There's only a mitzvah for kohanim to give the bracha.
I don't understand how a kohen is more involved in the mitzvah than Yisrael.
It says, Kotevarchu, amor lahem, Samu et Shmi. It's his job to do it. It doesn't ever say that Israel has to do it.
But he's just a conduit.
But that doesn't mean that it's a mitzvah for me to hear the bracha.
But if there's no one to hear it, then what's the point of saying it? The Kohen is not blessing anybody. The Kohen is a conduit. God is blessing.
Well, who says that anybody has to hear it?
I mean, God is blessing through the Kohen. Right?
The Am Sheva Sados don't have to hear it. And they get it anyways.
They get it with them.
The bracha is for them to kohanim to be conduits for God. Who says that you have to? Is there there a mitzvah for you to give me tzedakah? Is there a mitzvah for me to receive the tzedakah?
But why is the conduit of the kohen any less important than the conduit of the Bnei Israel receiving it?
Okay, it's a great question. So that's what the Dvar Avraham does. So we only have a couple of minutes. I just want to go through as much of this as possible.
What's that? I'm after the meister. So if the army's gone to the early meeting,
this week going to the youth minyan.
Yeah. Okay, so yeah.
And I said, go and do so
do they have to hear it? It's a great question. So according to the Ritva, you don't have to go. It's nice, but you don't have to. It's nice, but you don't have to, but you definitely can. For sure, 100%. You can do it as many times as you want. So Rabbi Nachum Zemba, one of the great Gedolim, he was a friend of Rabbi Soloveitchik. He was older, but they were correspondents. He was a great Gaon. A lot of his stuff got lost in the Holocaust. So in the Dvar Avram, he writes, Masha'er b'divrei Hafla, he quotes the Hafla, who is the Rebbe of the Chassam Sofer, actually. He quotes in Ksubas, Shehevi b'shem Sefer Charedim, this is the Sefer Charedim that we quoted, D'k'shem sh'mitzis aseh al-kohanim l'varachas Yisrael, havle mitzis aseh al-Yisrael, he's barach min ha-kohanim, the Sefer Charedim said that there is a mitzah on the Yisraelim. Val zeh heir kasev, de'bachir chidush ha-ritva sukkah mevur lehipuch, he pointed out that, like we saw in the Ritva, it says the opposite, that there is no mitzvah. De'en mitzvah klal al-Yisrael, alal kohanim. We'll skip past what he actually says. I'm jumping down to I don't know, the middle of that paragraph where it says Hine after Ad Kan Lashono. Hine Matzata Shekvar Here Kain Besefer Minchas Chinuch. The Minchas Chinuch bring this up as well. Aval Yani Azdaiti Ein Bezet Stira Klal. So Rav Nachum Zemba thinks that there's no Stira here. Udafilu Ladas Acharedim. He says I want to read the Sefer Acharedim differently. The Afla, the Baal Afla says that the Sefer Acharedim means literally that there's a mitzvah for Israel to go to shul and to hear the bracha from the Kohanim. That's a mitzvah that he has every day.
And there are those who go and chase 10 kohanim as well. There's an inyan of going and hearing a minyan of kohanim.
Okay. So he says that's what the Baal Afla, and he says that's what the Sefer Haredim means. But the Rav Nachum Zemba is going to say, no, that's not what he meant. That's not what the Sefer Haredim meant. What he meant was... They have to go running after doing the mitzvah. They have to find Yisraelim. They have to find people to give a bracha to. Okay, we have to skip past all this part. They have to find something. Let's see if where he gets to the part where he describes the Yisraelim. Aval acharei shekfar karo lehem achuyav mehem lachazer lakayim mitzvah barach avim lav bidlu mitzvah zaseh aval Yisrael ein chilka lachazer achar berachas kohanim afilu achar shekaru lakohanim v'im yatzav lo shama v'kol makam lo bitol mitzvah zaseh. So he says for Yisrael, even if he walks out before hearing the berachas kohanim, he was not mevatel anything, and even the charedim would say that. So what's the mitzvah? Hamitzvah hi rak shema kohanim mevarachim yishmu v'yichav v'libam lisbarach behem. What did the charedim say? He said if you are in the room while the kohen is doing the bracha, you have a mitzvah, you have a chiyuv to listen carefully. Okay? You have a mitzvah to listen carefully and to pay attention to what they are saying. V'kein mor lashon charedim Yisrael ha'omdim panim keneged panim. That's what that was that part of the Gemara. That it's a chiyuv to be panim keneged panim. That's on the Yisrael. That they don't turn around. B'shtika u'mechavnim l'kabel b'richasam k'dvar Hashem hevnami b'chal mitzvah. In other words, the Sefer Haredim is quoted la'halacha that there's a chiyuv on the Yisraelim to pay attention to the bracha of the Berachas Kohanim. To be quiet and to pay attention to it. V'imkein ein stira l'azem b'divrei Ritva. And then the Ritva is not disagreeing. The Ritva only said that there's no mitzvah for Yisrael to go to shul or even to stay in shul to hear the bracha. But once he's in shul, he has to listen to it, and they may even agree with each other. There are some nafkaminas over here. There's a lot of nafkaminas over here, whether they have to go running to it. And he goes into who he thinks is really right in terms of Gemaras. I know that Rabbi Salvechik, his shita was that you should not put your talis in front of you. Because he felt that panim keneged panim means that they're really, even though the Gemara says the mechitza is not, it's not chotzeitz, but he says not only should you, this is classic Ari Salvechik and all his Talmidim, that you should be actually looking at the Kohanim. He says you should not be looking at the Kohanim. You shouldn't look at their hands. You should not look at your hands. You shouldn't be able to see their hands anyways, because the Kohanim should be blocking their hands, should be covering them. But you should be looking at the Kohanim because that's how you pay attention to them. That's how you receive the bracha, like you're talking to them. Like you're having a conversation with them.
You can't see their faces though.
No, but that comes back to the point we said before.
No, because that's a separate thing. That was a separate thing. That's for a Zecher, the base of Mikdash, that you shouldn't be able to see their faces or their hands because the Shekhinah is there. But you shouldn't be, the idea that you should be panim keneged panim, but then you go like this and like try to avoid them is strange. Meaning you're supposed to be facing them. You're supposed to be facing them and paying attention to them.
A lot of people do with their children also. They put their children like that as well.
The Rav stand facing
them? I stand facing them because I've seen Rav Avishai David in Beit Shemesh and in Gros. He stares at them. Rav Shachter stares at the Kohan. He stares at them.
He spoke about it. Yeah.
He stares at them while they're doing Berachot.
You said Rav Shach?
Rav Shachter stares at them. Rav Avishai David watches them so he can correct the Kohanim who are doing it wrong.
It comes back to the point also mentioned before about why they don't go up if they've got Amun.
Yes.
Or they've got something which is distracting, because if distracting, it should focus on.
And I occasionally see Kohanim whose hands are kind of outside and or doing weird things. But I don't know. I didn't say anything.
So Mutar, I was always told that it's asr to look. I just like.
So there's two reasons why it's asr to look. One is of hesach hadas. The one is that it's distracting you. But it's distracting with you if there's something distracting. But the other is in the mikdash you weren't allowed to look. In the mikdash you weren't allowed to. You weren't
because
allowed
the shlinim mashwud shi'ri.
Yeah, but that doesn't apply now. That doesn't apply now. Okay. We're going to have to stop there. There's a lot to do. There's a lot more to do. And maybe next time we'll continue on to the next daf of more Birchas Kohanim, because there's more. There's more stuff and more dinim. But for now, we're going to have to stop. Yishar koch. Ma'ariv.
I'm sorry.